All right, cool. So. Then let's do this.
Yes.
All right. This, for some reason, I feel like this show is gonna is like more of a low energy show. This is more of a chill show in general.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a good thing. I'm just saying, like, that's gonna be the vibe that I'm gonna kind of have. Like, sometimes when we do other shows, I get a little bit more high energy in the opening. We're doing a new format.
Yes.
It's called Top Beer. So it's, we're gonna alternate on the same feed. It's gonna be Lucha Undead, no matter what. It's the same great show that you love,
yes,
with the same great hosts that you can't get enough of.
Oh yeah.
But we're gonna be switching up our format a little bit to make things kind of a little bit more copacetic. If you've been in this for the long haul, you know that we used to switch back and forth between reviewing shows.
Yep.
Now we're gonna switch back and forth formats completely. One week we're gonna review, or we're gonna interview people in the wrestling journalism circle, people involved in PWO, PTBN, people involved in Cage Side Seats, people involved with maybe Wrestling with Words at some point, but just different people who do stuff in wrestling journalism and podcasts, articles, the like. And then the next week, we're going to do what we're doing tonight, which is what we're calling Top Beer.
Mm-hmm.
And as you've heard, we have rambled and done episodes where we just kind of talked about beer here and there. We've even done an episode where it was live, me and Adrian doing a little beer brewery tour here in the Grand Los Angeles,
that was fun,
area. But now we're going to be a little bit more focused with it. It's not going to be as rambly. We have an exact plan. Mm-hmm. Me and Adrian are going to take beer styles, mm-hmm, and we're going to get three of each. We're going to get three beers of the same style, each of us, and then we're going to taste them. But they're not going to be the same beers, and we're going to each taste them and kind of describe them and go over them and basically just suss the whole thing out. See, this show is Adrian's show, mm-hmm, in a way. The other show is mine. I'm more the host. So, Adrian, I feel like you should be the taking the lead on this one.
I will. Okay, so you basically just said everything that needs to be said. But, yeah, so I thought, you know, why not try this out to do something different, since we both love beer. And since I'm more of a beer person than a wrestling person, and you're more wrestling, and I guess you go both ways, but I thought this would be a good idea for a show. So, you know, I think we should just get started. What do you think? I mean, you know,
let's do it.
It makes sense. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? Do you want to flip a coin? How do you want
to
do
it? Let's, how about you get yourself ready to go?
I'm ready to go now.
So a saison is
that's a little, it's a little foamy at the mouth.
Is that in a can?
It is in a can. Oh shit. I need a towel.
Oh, that's why I actually have a towel on me.
No, just keep going. It's fine.
Okay, so a saison is a Belgian farmhouse-style beer. And so it's a rustic kind of country beer,
uh-huh,
that is made with a lot of fresh ingredients, like that would be coming from the farms in general.
Uh-huh.
A lot of places in Belgium, when they started out making them, they would be a little bit, it'd be kind of like every farmhouse would just kind of make their own and be for their personal stock. Uh-huh. It does harken back in some ways to the, like, the gruit and the style of beer, where you're making it more or less just to purify the water and less about the alcohol. That's why a lot of saisons are low in alcohol content, especially the original ones. A lot of the new Americanized ones are getting higher in their alcohol content, but originally you'd have a saison that was, you know, 3 to 4%, maybe even lower, 2.5% alcohol by volume. And yeah, they have a lot of like fruits and like orange zest, lemon zest, citrus, and coriander, and different spices, and lemongrass, and all these different things kind of mixed in there. So there's a lot of really interesting different styles. So it's, in a way, it's kind of an odd catch-all term. It's, you definitely know a saison when you taste it, because it'll be a little funkier. It's a little Belgian style, but it's lower alcohol than most Belgian styles. And it's got usually low hop content and low alcohol content.
Nice. I like it. And the beer that I have today, Tim, the first one, is called 10,000 Summer Saison. It's by the Big Choice Brewing, which is based out of beautiful Broomfield, Colorado. And by the way, all three beers that I have tonight are all Colorado beers, which I didn't know until after the fact. I was looking at them, and apparently they're all brewed right here in Colorado, so that's nice.
Huh.
And this is the 10,000 Summers Saison. And on the can, it says, and I like this, Tim, it says, choose wisely, thrash, slam, and skank for some reason.
Well, skanking is a style of dance that you do to ska music.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. This is why I keep you around, Tim. You're like a walking Wikipedia page.
Mm-hmm. So that's all just different kinds of dancing. So it's just basically telling you to have a good time.
Nice, nice. Okay, so 10,000 Summers, a Belgian-style farmhouse ale infused with local wildflower honey, has a slight tart flavor with peppery undertones. Quote, this is a very valid reason for summer vacation. The human brain needs rest. That's by Summer School in 1987. I don't know who that is, but I did take a sip of it, and I like it. It's really good. It's got a very, like you said, it's got like a fruity like taste to it. Let me try it again. Hang on. It's almost like I could imagine this being like a fruit drink, but with alcohol. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's good.
And is that just a basic saison, or does it have something else, something more to it?
Well,
does it say anything there?
As far as ingredients, let's see.
Well, no. Does it say? Is it like a? Because I went a little bit weirder, as you're going to expect from me. I already like Belgian beer a lot, and I definitely like a lot of the weird Belgian beers. So that's like when you said saisons, I was going to go as far out there as I could. I couldn't, and it's funny because I went to like one of the more upscale liquor stores around here in this neighborhood, and I tried to find an actually from Belgian saison, and I couldn't find one.
Really?
Everything is here in America, but I kind of run the gambit, and there's something local. Something from Utah, something from New York, but I couldn't find anything actually from Belgium. So unfortunately, I have that. But mine are a little bit weirder. That's why I'm wondering, like, I've got one that's like a dry hop saison. I've got one that's got cucumber. So I was wondering if yours has anything weird, or is it just a straight up saison?
Ingredients: malt, hops, water, and yeast. That's what it says. Honey, okay. Ale. It does. Oh, I can definitely taste the honeyness. By the way, it's really good.
Okay. So on the front of the label, it says Honey Ale Saison.
Actually, no. On the very front, it just says 10,000 Summer Saison by Big Choice Brewing. And then on the bottom corner is where it says the ingredients, and it says in small lettering, Honey Ale. And then below that, it has a little square that says 45 RPM, which I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
It's like, maybe that's as fast as you should be driving if you're drinking this beer. You know what I mean?
That's a good, yeah.
Yeah, don't go over 45. If you go over 45, you're going to be in trouble. But if you keep it right at 45, that's a good amount of speed to enjoy this beer, I think.
That's a good idea, actually. You don't want to drive too fast while you're drinking a beer.
No. You don't want to spill it.
You will spill it. Like you just. How fast were you driving when you spilled that right now?
Let's see. How fast is the Earth moving through space? I don't know. Pretty fast.
Oh, you just blew my mind, bro.
Did I really?
You just blew my mind with that. I did not expect that one. No, come on.
Hey, and on ratebeer.com, this has an overall score of 34. Ooh, yeah. We should
do that.
Yeah, if you want to do that. We can.
No, I like it. I like to do that because I love that website.
Yeah.
So I'm always checking everything that I drink on there or checking stuff out.
Right.
So, what was the overall score on that one?
34, and then below that says 6 style. I don't know what that score means.
Style means the score if you're basing it on it being a saison.
Okay, so is that a good rating then? Because I'm not really sure how this website
works. What's the score?
6.
6?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
6 is terrible. It's out of 100.
Really?
Yeah. You're on ratebeer.com.
Yeah, I'm on ratebeer.com, and it's funny because as far as reviews from people, aroma, like the first, like the top one is like aroma 5/10, appearance 4/5, taste 5/10, palate 3/5. So explain to me what palate is. I don't understand palate.
Palate is the taste. It's kind of like palate means a combination of the way it tastes and the mouth feel.
Okay.
So palate takes into account, if it feels like kind of warm in the mouth, if it feels thick and like kind of if it has that juicy quality that kind of makes your mouth water, you know what I mean, like that. So
that's what I wanted to say, is that when I drink it, unlike like sort of like a wheat beer that's like more crisp or whatever, this is more of a, like, it's soft, it's softer feeling when I take a sip. Does that make sense?
I definitely get that.
So it's not a bad thing, Tim. But yeah, it's probably not the best beer. I just picked up whatever.
I can't believe it has a 6.
Is that really bad?
I'm trying to look this up now, because if you're even remotely liking it and it's got a 6, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, if you look up just 10,000 Summers, it'll come up by Big Choice Brewing, 10,000 Summers Saison.
I'm pulling it up right now. I'm going to take a look. Fuck, you're right. That beer is garbage. Why are you drinking that?
I like it. I like it, though, so far.
Okay.
So far, so good.
Well, okay, so it is saying it's really low on the style. So they're saying that it's not a very good Saison. But that doesn't mean it's a bad beer.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So the beer is not terrible, realistically, because the beer is at a 34, which is kind of bad. But it's not, like, the worst thing ever. But 6 is pretty bad, dude.
This beer is good.
And so I'm starting out with the most straight-up Saison that I got.
Okay.
It's Omi Gang. They're a brewery out of Cooperstown, New York.
What's it called?
They do a lot of Omi Gang. Mm-hmm. I've heard people say Omi Gong. I don't know. I think Omi Gang works for me. Omemegang.
Okay, I'm going to look it up while you do your thing.
It's a brewery that I really enjoy.
Why do you enjoy it so much?
They do a lot of Belgian-style beers, and as I said, I'm a big fan of Belgian beers. So
I'm starting to realize that, Tim. You really like your Belgian style.
Yeah, so when I couldn't find an actual from Belgian Saison the other day, this is what I grabbed instead.
Okay.
See, now this Omi Gang is 7.7% alcohol, and its rate beer rating is a monster compared to yours.
I'm seeing it 97.95. Wow.
Yeah. So it's much better than the beer you were drinking.
Now, what makes it much better, though, at the end of the day, honestly? Is it the ingredients? Is it the way it's brewed? What is it?
It's probably – it has a lot to do with, okay, aggregating. There's a lot more people, I think, who are actually fans of this beer and this brewery. So a lot more people are rating it, and they're rating it more positively. There's probably a lot less people – especially that's a beer in Colorado. That kind of taints it. There's probably a lot of people who think, like, you know what I mean? No, I guess Colorado's fine.
Colorado
but
has a thriving brewing scene, Tim. So
that's true. Yeah, I'm just going to say, like, to other people. People okay. outside of Colorado. I mean, I don't know. I think
when you think of Colorado, what do you think? What's the first thing that pops into your head?
Probably New Belgium.
Okay.
That's probably the first brewery that I think of from there. So
not Budweiser.
No, are they? Is that there?
Yeah.
Didn't know.
I thought
that was just America's beer.
That is America's beer, and it comes from Colorado. How about that?
Ah. So yeah. So the nose on this is like impeccable. You can really smell
the nose? Just the smell, the aroma.
Yeah, the way it smells. A lot of floral notes. Getting like some coriander, a little bit of. I don't really smell like orange or anything weird like that, but I know it's in there. I just can't smell it. And then
mine
you get
has
that
an orangey sort of scent to it, you know, very fruity.
Yeah. And then there's like some of that kind of Bavarian wheat kind of. I know that it's in there. I'm not going to taste it too much. I've heard people say it tastes like banana Laffy Taffy. It's really bad. I think it can taste a little bit like just like bananas in general, I think. But, you know, you know that flavor that comes with, like, most lagers and stuff that are made with a lot of wheat, like Heffenweiss and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Smell a little bit of that. Let me give it a taste.
I can read the description while you're doing that. This hoppy farmhouse-style ale has a champagne-like effect, effervescence?
Yes, it
with
does.
With a crisp but light-on-the-tongue finish. Similar to the Belgian Saison style, this beer serves well as an aperitif? What's an aperitif?
Aperitif.
Hennepin has Before a majestic meals. Golden hue. The style is called Grisset or farmhouse and is considered to be in the domain of the Belgian Saisons. So how do you like it? What's the verdict?
I don't know how to say that word that you said, the Grisel or whatever. I don't know how that word's actually supposed to be pronounced.
Grisset?
I don't know. I don't know how it's actually meant to be pronounced, but I never have. So,
I forgive you.
This is good. No, it's good. It's light body, but it's got a little bit of kind of that. I don't know if you know that kind of like that salty, not salty, but kind of like got that electrolyte feel, like kind of like what you get in a Gatorade, where it's kind of got it's light bodied, but it kind of fills your mouth a little. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of.
Got that. I don't know how to describe it. Unfortunately, I'm not a classically trained sommelier or Or Cicerone, I guess, would be the technical word for this, but...
Gotcha. I can't wait to one of us gets to a beer that we absolutely don't like, because we're just going to have to finish it, you know what I'm saying?
Right. No, this is very much... This is a good Belgian Saison. It's kind of you can taste that, like I was describing, in the nose. The same stuff comes through in the actual taste and the mouthfeel.
Right. So tell me something. What is it with the Belgians and, like, sweeter, fruitier type beers?
I have no idea really why it's so popular there, but it just is.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know the history of the Belgian monks, and that's kind of who makes a lot of these beers. But then, like I said...
I don't, actually. It's funny because I was reading something the other day in that beer book that I brought in a few episodes back, and they mentioned something about... They mentioned some brewery called something Monk or whatever, and I was like, I wonder if the Monk thing is just like a part of their, you know, brand or whatever, or if monks have anything to do with it. And apparently they do in a way, right? Or what?
Yeah, so in Belgium, a lot of, they call them trapperies or Trappists? They're called Trappist monks. They live in trapperies. They're essentially like a convent. I don't even know what religion, but they're monks, so they're like in the religion. I would assume that they're like Catholic, right? Because they're in France or Belgium.
If they're monks, wouldn't they be Buddhist monks?
No.
Not literally.
No, that's not the only thing that monks can be. Monks can be other religions.
Oh, I thought they were just like Buddhist people.
No. No, I don't think so.
Well, you learn something new every day, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I've ever known, I don't think they're Buddhists.
Yeah, but you have heard of Buddhist monks, of course.
Yeah. I have heard of Buddhist monks.
Okay.
But I don't think that they're Buddhist. I don't think, because they're in Belgium.
See, that was the first thing I was thinking. I was like, oh, the Buddhist monks like to get their drink on. All right, I can get down with that. That's cool.
No, because they're in Belgium. So, any number of monks. Let's see. In the Greek. See, there was monks all the way back in Grecian times.
Oh, okay. But they weren't necessarily Buddhists, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so a monk is essentially a male nun.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's what it's saying.
Gotcha. I understand now.
So, yeah. So, let's see. Eastern Christianity, Western Christianity, Buddhism, Jainism, Vanishanan. So, there's all different kinds of monks, and they are one of them. I don't know what kind. And they brew beer in the trapperies, or the traps. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of the really, like, well-known Belgian beers are coming from, the monks brewing them. It's weird, because, I mean, it's gotten to the point where now they, like... They get sent all over the world, and people like drink them everywhere, and they're just coming from like these monk temples in Belgium, but they're like hundreds and hundreds of years old. I don't know what it is about making the weird fruity stuff. I mean, I guess a lot of Belgian beers are known for having really high alcohol contents.
Right.
And so you're going to get a lot of that sweetness and all that coming through when you have a high amount of alcohol in there. It's just kind of a side effect of the whole thing.
Right.
But, otherwise, I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look into that more. I wonder what it is about Belgian people that makes them like sweeter, fruitier beers. I will say that they're definitely right. This has a champagne quality. I mean, it's still like kind of foaming and bubbling as we speak.
Uh-huh.
It's like a pale yellow, and the head is like, for a Saison, the head is like staying strong. It's like starts out nice and thick, but then it kind of bubbles down, but it doesn't disappear. And a lot of Saisons disappear. This one just keeps effervescing, as they say, and yeah, keeps having more and more little bubbles at the top.
Hey, were you the one that taught me that to get rid of the, if you have a lot of head on a beer, you just like put your finger in your mouth and you stick your finger in the foam? And
why are you putting it in your mouth?
Or do you just stick your finger in there?
Yeah, you just stick your straight up finger in there.
You're the one that showed me that once, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that probably was you. I had a feeling that was you, and it turns out it was. Okay.
Yeah, the oils and the salt on your finger will make the foam dissipate.
That's what it was. Okay, I remember you saying that now. I forget where we were, where you showed me that little trick. You should post that to Life Pro Hacks or something.
I think most people know that.
I didn't know that until you told me.
Well, that's you. All right, Adrian, so you're going to go for round two? I like this. It's got a yeasty, kind of biscuitiness to it. There's a lot of very interesting flavor notes, though. I give this a huge thumbs up. I think that the rating is pretty good. I think, actually, I honestly think the rating's a little high, but not for the style, but for the overall. Right. It's pretty good, though. I'm not complaining.
I'll have to try it someday. All right, so here's what I got. Ready for this, Tim?
I'm ready.
From the Avery Brewing Company, which is based out of Colorado. Let's
see. I did not know that Avery was from Colorado. I like that brewery.
Yeah, they are in Boulder, Colorado, Timothy.
Huh.
Boulder. See, this is why you need to come. See, one of your favorite breweries is here. There you go.
I didn't say that they were one of my favorites. I just said I liked
them. Okay, so from Avery Brewing Company, the Seasonal Selection. Okay.
Uh-huh.
This is a Persic Saison ale brewed with peaches, Tim.
Ooh.
All right. Are you ready for this?
Oh, that's a I almost bought a six-pack of that the other day.
Nice.
That's the I for some reason, I know that you had sent me a picture of what you're...
Yes.
You're breaking down the fourth wall here, guys. Me and Adrian actually planned this. It wasn't just spur of the moment. You sent me a picture of your beers, and I could have sworn I remember you getting that, and then I was going to buy a six-pack the other day, and then I was like, oh, I think Adrian bought this. I'll wait and see what he thinks before I buy it.
Okay. Well, we're about to find out. Ready for this?
I'm ready.
Do you hear that?
I heard it.
All right, here we go. You know, it's funny. I don't know if it's because I'm not... I don't have the trained nose or whatever, but when I open the first beer and I open this one, the smell... It's just like if I was opening up a can of Bud Light. And I don't know if that's a good thing.
Probably not a good thing.
But here, we're going to taste it. Ready for this?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Hmm. It tastes similar to the other beer, but a little more... I want to say bitter. I don't know if that's the right word, though. If that makes sense.
Like tart?
Yes. That's what it is. It's slightly more tart than the 10,000 Summers beer.
How tart would you say? Like, if you're going to compare it to eating a fruit or something. Like, what kind of fruit?
It's subtle. It's not, like, in-your-face tart. It's subtle.
But does the peach come through?
A little bit. Although, not as much as I'd like, to be honest. I wish it was a little more peachy. Because I think I mentioned to you the other day...
That you peach. Could eat a peach all day.
this peach beer by Wasatch Brewing. Remember?
Yes. You had mentioned that.
Yeah, that one. When you drink that beer, you know you're drinking a peachy beer. When I drink this one, I'm not feeling the peach as much. You know what I mean? So
that's interesting because I know that you were mentioning that because I was just drinking a peach beer, which I can barely remember now.
Right?
Isn't that true? Is that why you were telling me about it? Right.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, you sent me a picture of, and this is another breaking the fourth wall moment. Tim and I send each other pictures of the beers that we're drinking.
Yeah, and I'm going to start putting those up on Twitter.
You should.
When I send them to you, I'm going to also post them on the Twitter for everybody.
Yeah.
Are
you ready for the score on this, on Rate Beer?
Yeah, let's get the Rate Beer score on this bad boy.
83-64.
Not bad.
Not bad, right?
Not bad.
Better than the other one, which was 34.6.
Yeah, that was not a good saison.
But
you said that they have similar notes, right?
Honestly, I think I like the first one better. I'm not even joking here. I think I prefer the 10,000 Summers. Maybe I don't know what that says about
me. Maybe you just have bad taste in beer.
Maybe I just have bad taste in beer. Yeah.
But it is.
It's not terrible though. It's good. I like it. You know what I mean? It's different. It's slightly different than the first one. So.
You know what it was? You know why I wasn't remembering it properly? I just looked it up. It was the Modern Times Apricot. That's what I was drinking.
Modern Times Apricot. Okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't peach. And the Wasatch that you were talking about was apricot too. So that's a little different there. Now, I love Avery's...
Wasatch, by the way.
Wasatch. What did I say?
Wasatch.
What's the difference?
If you go to Utah and you say Wasatch, people are going to laugh at you.
They're going to know I'm from California, aren't they?
They're going to know you're one of those California fuckers coming here trying to take all their Mormon wives and turn them into a coven of wives.
They have Mormons in Colorado, too?
Oh, yeah, but not as much as Utah.
Oh, is Wasatch in Utah?
Wasatch is in Utah.
I thought you said all your beers are...
The Mount... No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
I'm just referencing the Wasatch Apricot Heavenweizen that I was...
Yeah,
that's based out of Utah, yes. And it's a delicious beer. If you guys ever have a chance to drink it, I highly recommend it.
Do you ever go back out there? Like, did you ever go to the Wasatch Brewery?
As a matter of fact, I went to the Wasatch Brewery in Park City, and I've been to their brewery in Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. They both serve food and stuff, and obviously beer, and it's really good. Like, the beer's good, the food is good.
Would you ever go now that you're in Colorado?
If I'm passing through Utah and I have like a day or two, then yeah, I would. But you know,
you wouldn't go like on a weekend just to go.
No, because Salt Lake City is a 10-hour trip from Denver, so that's not exactly a weekend trip.
Is it really that long?
Yeah, or it's like 8 hours. But I mean, I'm not going to drive 8 hours to Salt Lake City just to drink a beer.
Right, it's not that good.
Well, it's no beer is worth an 8-hour trip. Do you think?
I mean, there's beers in San Francisco that I would take the 8-hour trip, actually 10-hour trip, just to go up there to drink a beer.
I was just going to ask you, would you literally drive up to San Francisco just for a beer? And I guess you would, so, okay.
There's a beer up there, or there's a brewery up there that I would definitely go just to go to that brewery.
What's it called?
Rare Barrel.
Rare Barrel?
Yeah, they do a lot of sour barrel-aged beers, and I'm like a big fan of that style. And I'm also a big fan of like small business and stuff like that. So the fact that it's a privately owned American California sour beer brewery, I love it.
I just Googled it. It has 4.8 stars out of 5. Holy shit. Berkeley, California. I must say, Tim, you seem to have good taste when it comes to beer.
It's true. It's true.
When it comes to other things.
What's your, I know, especially in Friends, I have terrible taste. what's your rating of the, what is it, Perzik?
I like it. Like I said, I think I prefer the 10,000 Summers more than this one, but not by a wide margin. You know what I'm saying? Like, by a very thin margin, I prefer the other one. But it's good. You know, I wish it was more peachy, because I like, you know, I would like to have the peachier flavor more, but, you know.
Right.
I can deal with it. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. All right. So
I say that too much, by the way. You know what I'm saying? My girlfriend pointed it out one time. It's like, yes, I know what you're saying. Wink, wink.
I don't get it. But I don't get a lot of things that go on between you and your girlfriend. So I'm going to go for my next beer, right?
Tell me about it. What do you got?
So my next beer is a fine, saucy little number that I was actually pre-gaming with before we started, because before we started recording, I realized that I may have goofed it. Now, this is our kind of pilot, not even pilot.
Really, our inaugural episode of Top Beer.
Yeah. And got to get that top beer in there more, I think. And I realized that I may have made a major faux pas. Luckily,
top beer.
That was pretty good. I liked that.
Did you like that?
I did. And what I did was luckily we're doing saisons this week, which are low, like I was saying earlier, they're low alcohol, so I can kind of deal with it.
Right.
But I went to one of my favorite breweries in all of Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And I got a nice big Crowler, which is a aluminum can growler, to take home of what they had there. Is their, like, it was kind of a little funkier saison that they had on the day. I tried it in house and really liked it, and then I was like, okay, I'm gonna take that for the show. But it's 32 ounces, so it's a full quart of beer, and then we're supposed to be drinking other beers, and then so my main event beer is also a big bomber, so I think it's like 22 ounces or something.
You're gonna get lit.
So luckily, yeah, it's 22 ounces. So luckily, like I said, these aren't super high alcohol content, but I realized, fuck, that's a lot of beer to drink, and I'm going to have to essentially drink it all tonight.
That's like three beers in one thing.
Yeah, because I should have gotten it in like my – the funny thing is I brought my growler with the twist top when I went to get this one, and I was going to fill that and just get the small one, which is the same amount of liquid, but I can kind of put the cap back on and pretend that it's still fresh the next day. But with the can, I know that it's not fresh if I open it.
Right. And that's the thing, is that you asked me, because when I was texting you the beers I was getting, I showed you one potential beer, which is a DuPont Saison.
Yeah.
But that motherfucker was like a huge bottle, and it was like $17. And I'm like, even if I had bought it, like, that's a lot of beer to drink. And you're saying you have like a 32 ounce? Like, holy shit. Or 22 ounce? Or what is it? That's huge.
I've got both. I've got a 32 and a 22. So this is from Mumford Brewing. Adrian, you went there with me.
Yes,
you
remember? I enjoyed Mumford Brewing,
Yeah, it was a nice brewery. Great people, great everything. I took our mutual friend Mike D. Mike D'Angelo.
Friend of the show.
He's my buddy from the Bay, who actually he just started working at a brewery part time, and I think he's gonna start Apprentice Brewing, which is really cool. I always am so jealous of that fucker because
Apprentice Brewing, what do you mean?
Yeah, he's going to start apprentice at the brewery that he's working at to become a brewer himself and learn how to brew and stuff. I know. And that's why I'm always jealous of this fucker, because all the stuff that I want to do, he always just does it because he can get away with it. And unfortunately, I always have to be too responsible, and I can't get away with it. I know. So I took him to this brewery as well, and that was actually right before he decided to go start Apprentice Brewing. So I'm not saying Mumford Brewing, their beers were so good and so inspiring that it made him want to become a brewer, but, you know, it is quite the coincidence. And what I got from them is Golf Clap. It's a version of their beer that's called Slow Clap, which is their Saison, but this is dry hopped. What does that mean exactly?
Okay. It's dry hopped versus wet hopped or what?
Yeah, there is actually wet hopping as well. Wet hopped usually just means that it's in the mash, it's in the original boil. So the way you make beer is you put all the ingredients together and you boil it, right? And then you throw all that into a bunch of water and you let it hang out in a big barrel that's sealed for a couple days to a week to a month to a year, depending on what it is. And once it's done, you drink it, right?
Gotcha.
And so the wet hops would be the hops that are in that initial mash or boil, as they call it. Dry hops would be after you've put it into the big container and you've let it ferment for a while, you throw more hops into it. So after it's already fermented and been sitting, you throw some fresh hops that are dry into the beer that's already kind of fermenting in the barrel, and that's dry hopping. You can even do dry hopping at home. So if you want to buy some just whatever beer at your house, and you can put it into like a big, like a container with a sealable lid, and pour the beer into there and then just throw some hop pellets into it. That's essentially dry hopping. And you could just do that at your home. No big deal. Wait a couple days, wait a week or so, and then drink the beer and then see that it's got some extra hop flavor. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So you'll be dry hopping your beer. So this is a Saison that's been dry hopped. So essentially, it's kind of LA is getting a little bit crazy, not super crazy, but not like as bad as Stone and Green Flash and all the other San Diego breweries were in the early 90s and early 2000s. Late 90s, early 2000s with the kind of hop crazy, but LA is getting a little hop crazy lately. And so to stick with it, and because we're like kind of trying to adopt the West Coast IPA as our thing, and like, not even though like West Coast IPA really means San Diego IPA, but we're trying to steal it and say West Coast IPA, and then it means Los Angeles style too. So they're kind of over hopping everything and making it all great. So this is a dry hop Saison. When I saw it at the board, it actually said what hops it was dry hopped with, but I don't remember at the moment, and their website doesn't say. And I don't have a discerning enough palate to pick it out from just the taste, but we'll see. Maybe I can figure it out.
Okay.
So this is 5% alcohol, which it's funny because it's actually even lower than the Slow Clap. The regular Saison without the hops is actually a higher alcohol content than the beer with the hops.
Right.
And it's, like I said, from one of my favorite breweries. I'm going to give it a sniff.
Give it a go.
It's definitely got that. It's funny. It kind of still smells exactly like a normal Saison. Same kind of biscuity, orangey, banana scent. But it's a little bit more muddled than it normally is. You don't really smell it. I don't smell any hopness coming through on the nose, but you just kind of don't smell the Saison as strong.
Right. But it's good, though. You like it.
Ooh, that's nice. So that, the hops kind of balance it out. So you know how, like on the other Saison I drank, and probably on the two that you've had, they were a little bit sweet and maybe a little bit tart and bitter on the back end?
Yeah.
The hops kind of mellow it out all the way through so that it's kind of, it gives you like a little punch at the front of sweetness and then the rest of the body, the rest of the flavor all the way through is just kind of like subtle bitter, kind of got that hop flavor coming through.
Yeah.
But you don't kind of get that back end kind of maybe a little bit too sweet biscuitiness to it. Super thin bodied, almost no head. Yeah, I really like this beer. It's, like I said, well balanced. Everything about it works pretty good.
Okay, Tim, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so here's the thing. I saved this beer for last for a reason, okay?
Okay.
First of all, it's in a bottle, okay? It's the only beer I have tonight that's in a bottle, okay? And the second of all, it has like a weird, like, wax seal around the cap. Okay, so it's kind of intimidating, Tim, you know?
Yeah.
I shouldn't be intimidated by this, but I'm a little intimidated by this beer. So I'm going to open it. Hopefully it goes well. do you want me to take a picture of it to show you what I'm talking about?
No, I know what you're talking about. It's okay. Not an uncommon thing.
Yeah, and it's not like the wax seal is like a stylistic choice like it is how it is on some bottles. It just looks like it was just done this way in the factory or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, this is the Mr. Saison Viel or Vale. I don't know how you say it. V-I-E-L-L-E. Do you know how to say that?
Vale?
It's based out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. Again, all my beers tonight were based out of the beautiful state of Colorado. And I'm going to open this. Are you ready?
I'm ready. What's the... did we do the rate beer on your last one?
We did.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty good.
Okay. This has an interesting... would you call it nose? Or?
Yeah.
It definitely smells different than the last two ones. Not by a lot. Let's see. I'm going to actually look this up really quick on Rate Beer, if you don't mind. Mr. Saison. Okay.
Mr. Saison.
Someone should make a song out of that.
Let's do it. Should make that song tonight.
You want to drop a beat?
After we're done with this episode of the podcast, we'll make the song, and then we'll put that as the closing credits on the show.
Mr. Saison. By the way, is it okay that I'm drinking these straight out of the cans and the bottle, or should you probably
be, but it's not the big deal.
Oh, because that's what you're doing. So I just thought maybe I should be doing.
What do you mean? I'm not doing that.
I thought you were pouring them into.
Yeah, I'm pouring them into glasses.
That's what I was saying. Should I be doing the same thing? You know?
Yeah, I said you probably should be.
Okay, this is by the. I should be, not shouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay, should I go do that now, or does it not matter, really?
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Mr. Saison. This is by the Trinity Brewing Company. Okay.
Okay.
I couldn't find a rating for it on Rate Beer, but I did find it on untapped.com.
We will accept Untapped.
Total 75, unique 75. I don't know what those scores mean exactly, but there you go. Okay, I'm gonna take a sip of this. I'm a little nervous. Here we go. Ready?
I am excited for you.
Oh. Okay, I need to pour this into a glass because I just.
You got sediment?
No, I got the waxy covering stuff got in my mouth a little bit.
How do you even live? Honestly. Honestly. I feel like you should have died a long time ago. You are just.
I'll be right back.
You're too dumb to do anything.
Let me tell you something, okay?
You're an idiot. Are you just going to admit it?
First of all,
you're some kind of like Terminator-esque robot sent back from the future to drive me insane with your idiocracy. Idiocradom. I don't even know how you say
idiocy?
It properly. Yes, that would be the right word.
It wasn't
because that way. The point is that you were sent back in time to preoccupy me with your idiocy so that I didn't start the uprising. It's like the John Connor. Like instead of trying to kill John Connor, though, you're just supposed to keep me preoccupied with how dumb you are. So I'm too busy being pissed off and annoyed at you to do anything. Is that it? Because sometimes I wonder, how did you not drink good? Like, that's all you had to do was drink from a bottle.
Look, I'm not the one that put a weird waxy seal on this beer that leaves behind residual pieces of wax on the edge of the lip that I...
Well, what did you use to cut the wax?
I didn't have to cut anything. I used a regular bottle opener, but my point
is... Well, that's where you fucked up.
Why?
Cut the wax first.
Well, I did not know that, Timothy.
I really wonder about you, sir.
Okay, I'm pouring into a glass.
Okay, so now we need to talk about, because now I'm all riled up. You know what? Keep going.
No, no, no. What do you want to talk about?
Pouring it into a glass.
What do you want? What did you want to talk about?
No, no, no. I want you to pour that into the glass.
It's poured. It's poured. It's poured.
All right. So I was going to say, because now we need to talk about what happened before we started recording. With you.
Okay, you asked me, will you be ready early? Can you be ready early? I said I can be ready in an hour.
Nope.
I'll let you take
it. Skip it over the important part.
Okay, go ahead.
Asked you, and I'm going to say the times that they were here. What? So don't try to correct me because it was a different time where you're at. Just understand I'm talking about Pacific Standard Time.
Gotcha.
So initially I had told you that we would start recording tonight at 7:30 to 8.
Which Pacific is 8:30 to 9 my time.
Right. Like I said, don't try to correct me with your time.
Sorry.
You're already proving my point.
Sorry.
I literally just gave you those instructions. Did you do it just to fuck with me?
No. No, I didn't, actually.
Yes, I know. I know that you did. So, initially, we were going to start recording from 7:30 to 8 p.m. my time. So, I text you at 6:15 my time and say, hey, do you think, or hey, can you be ready early? You responded with, how early? Which I said, I'm asking you, how early can you be ready? To which you responded, I can be ready in an hour. Which is, would be 7:15.
Yes.
By the time you responded back, 7:18. So essentially the same time that we were scheduled to start. Maybe 5-10 minutes early.
Not exactly.
Here's my point. What's this now?
10 minutes earlier is technically still early, Tim.
Technically still earlier.
Technically.
But rather than saying that, why did you ask me how early if you knew that you couldn't be ready early? Why couldn't you just say, no, I can't be ready early? Why did you waste my time asking me when? It didn't matter because you weren't going to be able to do it anyways.
Right.
Okay. You going to try that beer? This is the main event for you. This is your third and final event.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just listening to you drink a beer. Oof. That didn't sound great.
No, it's it has a funny aftertaste. It's not as flavorful as the first two that I drank. Besides that, it tastes like a Saison, you know? But it's not... I don't know, man. I feel like... Hold on, let me try it again. Yeah, it has a weird aftertaste. I don't know if that's normal. Is that me?
I don't know, because I've never had that beer.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe the aftertaste. It's just, it's a little strange, you know? It's not like, it's kind of a subtle aftertaste, but... I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what to say besides that. It's not as fruity as the first two.
You know? Okay. Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it's a little, you know, it's like more subtle. But yeah, I'm not particularly happy with this one, you know?
Huh.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, that's weird.
That's kind of weird. Okay. That's all I got. Do you have any questions as far as any, like, I don't know.
I don't know. How's the, I mean, so it just kind of tastes like the other ones, but a little bit. Is it, what's making it worse?
The aftertaste. I hate aftertaste when it comes to eating or
drinking. So it's leaving, is it like leaving a flavor in your mouth after you've drank it?
Yes.
Okay. And what's it, like, describe it.
That's the thing. I don't know how to describe it. You know, I don't know how to, I don't even know how to put it into words.
But you don't like it.
I'm not really happy with this one. No, it's weird, man.
Huh. And which, what was that beer?
This is it's by the Trinity Brewing Company. Mr. Saison Vale, Veal. I don't know. The label's got like a tie-dye aesthetic to it with like a hippie van, like a hippie type of character on the front. Yeah, that's all it says.
Huh.
There's a bunch of, oh, here we go. Okay.
What's the score?
The score, well, like I told you on, I couldn't find it. Oh, actually it is on Right Beer. Hold on. 85.68, actually. Yeah. Can I read you with the label really quick?
Yeah, let's
do it. Inspired by native ingredients we found during a local hike in Colorado, this beer won Best of Show in the Beers Made by Walking competition in 2012. Our use of amaranth grain imparts a toasty presence in the malt bill. Mustard seed lends a nice spiciness to the beer.
Ooh, maybe that's what you're tasting.
Yeah, that is balanced with a light citrus from lemongrass, along with an essence of cherry from the addition of rose hips. Alcohol 5.61 by volume. And yeah, that's it, I guess. You think it's the, what did you say, the spiciness or the mustard seed, or what was it?
Yeah, probably the mustard seed, the spiciness from the mustard seed that's giving you that weird aftertaste. That's what I would guess.
Yeah, if you were to ask me, would I buy this beer again? No.
Okay.
I would not.
Are you happy that you tried it?
I'm happy that I tried it because, you know, I want to expand my beer. That was kind of the main point of the show. It really was more for me to expand my beer horizons. What a better way to do that than to try different beers for this show and decide what other beers I like besides... Because, you know me, I've only been drinking mostly IPAs and lately and stuff. You know, and I'm trying to kind of get away from that a little bit and try different stuff because that's all I drink now. It's just, you know, pale ale. So, so this is a good opportunity to do that. And, yeah, I'm glad I tried it, you know. I don't regret trying it, but I wouldn't try it again. You know what I mean?
No.
No.
Well, okay, so the Beers Made by Walking program... which is the award that they made, is a program where brewers are encouraged to go on nature hikes and urban walks and make their new beer inspired by things that they come across that are edible and medicinal plants that they find out in nature.
So it totally is a hippie beer then. I was right.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
So that's probably why it sucks.
You know, it's funny because I've gotten used to the aftertaste now. I don't taste it anymore. Is that normal?
Huh.
Is that normal?
Yeah, it's probably normal. All right. So, are you ready for my main event?
For the main event, yes. I'm ready, Tim. What do you
this
got?
Is the, this
Hit
is
me with
the
it.
Big Daddy. This is what I got.
The main event.
The main event of the evening is...
I hope that's not blowing out your ears, by the way.
I can barely hear it when you do that.
Okay, good.
This is from your old stomping grounds.
Uh-oh.
In Utah, America.
I was going to say, what are you going to go with?
Cucumber Farmhouse.
Uh-huh.
From, what is it, Inita? Or Uinta? How do you
Uinta,
say?
Uinta.
Uinta.
Come on, Tim.
Why do they say it like that?
You called it Uinta one time on the, when we were first doing this show, you called it Uinta.
That's what I just said right now, too.
Yeah, no, it's Uinta.
Uinta. I mean, is that really so far off?
Yeah, actually it is.
All right.
Think of it called you Mitt.
Like if my name was Mitt?
No, if your name was Tim, but if I called you Mitt.
Like Mitt Romney, who also happens to be from Utah.
He's not from Utah, but he is a god in Utah, yes.
Okay, well, that actually would fit perfectly in this situation. It's all very serendipitous, so thank you for that. So Cucumber Farmhouse, Uinta, from the Uinta Brewing, which I got from a close personal friend of mine who happens to work for Uinta Brewing. I know, but he lives out here in California. Very interesting, right? I guess he's part of the distributing arm.
Who is this? Can you say, or?
I'm going to keep it to myself. No, his name is Andy, or Aaron. He has a dog named Andy. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get that mixed up.
Okay.
But his name is Aaron, and I don't necessarily know his last name, and I don't feel comfortable saying it on the podcast, no, I guess.
Fine. That's fine.
He's like a private-y dude, but he happens to work for Uinta, I think, for their distribution arm out here in Los Angeles, California. So he gave me a couple beers the other day. One of which was a Pineapple Goes that was amazing. And one of which was this Cucumber Farmhouse Saison that is brewed with cucumbers and aged in gin barrels.
Wow.
And it's still only 6.5% alcohol per volume. It's also supposed to be, it says enjoy in a glass. It shows a tulip, but it doesn't say that it's supposed to be a tulip, but I'm going to assume so. Uinta is a all renewable powered energy brewery, which I think is super cool.
Nice.
And so I'm very excited to try this beer because it's definitely something that's pretty interesting. Cucumber and gin barrels and all this.
Right.
I think I'm going to like it. So I opened it up. Uinta, what do they have under their caps? Earth, Wind, and Beer. That's cool. It kind of goes with their hippy-dippy, we're all renewable energy brewery. So I got this beer. We were out for a night going to Beechwood Brewery in Long Beach, California, which is a fantastic little barbecue and beer spot. They have all their own beers there. And we were there for the night. And then after we were done, they had Ubered there because they didn't want to drive because they live in Long Beach. So we gave them a ride back home, and once we got back home to their home, they said, oh, you know, let me give you this beer and see if you like it. All right, so it's a little hazy, which I like because I'm kind of into these juicy,
yeah, what's
hazy,
up with the haziness of these beers? Because I noticed that like other beers don't have, because I mean, you know, I have mine in a glass and I see the haziness, you know.
A lot of West Coast IPAs are very, very clean and have that crisp kind of opaque look.
Yeah.
But so that's kind of probably more what you've been drinking lately. But most of these are kind of more clear. This one's definitely very hazy. And I guess so is the one that you're drinking.
Yeah.
Ooh, that smell is very weird. It's got a lot of tartness coming through on the nose. Don't smell as much of the kind of like biscuity orange-ness, but it's there. It's definitely subtly there in the background. I really like that smell. I'm going to take a sip of water just to make sure that my palate is thoroughly cleansed before I drink this.
Okay.
But I don't want to muddle the flavor.
No, you're good, Tim. You're good.
Sip of water for the unemployed woman.
Is that a saying?
No, but Stone Cold says sip a beer for, or swig a beer for the working man.
Hmm.
So I do a sip of water for the unemployed woman out there. Listen, she deserves a little respect, too.
You're a born-again.
She'll get back on her feet someday.
She will.
Or maybe she just doesn't want to work. Maybe she chooses to be a housewife.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There is nothing if that's her choice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is going down the hatch right now. This smells great, though.
Here we go.
I don't even want to taste it. It smells so good. Ooh, that's something else. Oh, yeah. That's really good. Cucumber. It's got that cucumber on the front. Sweet, though. You ever had, like, a cucumber popsicle?
No.
Why not?
I've had cucumber water at the Ace Hotel, if you remember. That was delicious.
I know, but my point is that it's got that cucumber sweetness.
Uh-huh.
So, like, a cucumber popsicle, which I would think you would have, because that's like a Latino-Mexican thing. But you're also really bad at being Mexican, so you've probably never had. You've obviously never had one.
We've agreed about this, and we've also agreed that you're really bad at being white. So
that's true. I just find that less offensive, honestly. Like I'm not. I don't feel like that's an attack on me that I'm bad at being white, but I feel like it is an attack on you saying that you're bad at being Mexican.
Do you feel the same way? Why? No, not really. Why are you so bad at being white? Did we ever discuss why?
It's just because I was raised by a pack of wild N-words, as Mel Brooks would. Was it Mel Brooks? No, it was Mel Gibson.
I don't think Mel Brooks would say that.
Mel Gibson might say that.
Mel Gibson would definitely say that.
Mel Gibson did say that.
Pack of N-words.
Yes, so I was raised by a wild pack of N-words, that's why. I don't know. I'm just very bad at it. So this is amazing. It's got cucumber sweetness in the front. Then in the back, you kind of get that botanical gin, the flavors from the gin barrels. You know, you've had gin before, right?
I don't think I've ever had gin, to be honest, no.
You know, the botanical kind of, it's a lot of different, plants and herbs and stuff in there that they age with it. I don't even know exactly which ones they do with gin, but it's got that distinct flavor.
Uh-huh.
Does have, all the way through, it has that backbone of the Saison with the kind of biscuity sweetness, a little bit of, like I said, the kind of the grain coming through the whole thing. So this is a humongous thumbs up. Unfortunately, it does not have a great beer rating. I also saw it on Untappd, though, so I'll pull up what the Untappd rating is for this bad boy.
What's the rate beer rating?
It doesn't have one.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Untappd, it is 3.9 or 5.9, which is out of 5. So that's pretty good. 3.5. Basically close to 3.6.
What would be the letter grade on that? Like a B plus?
I guess, yeah, like a B plus, probably. B-. I don't know. Not too shabby, mild cucumber flavor. However, the spicy Thai food could be affecting things. Okay, that guy's review is pointless. Tons of cucumber in the beginning, warm temperature, gin barrel. Yeah, this is a great summer one, I think, for sure. This is a good summer beer. The other ones were okay summery beers, I think, but not necessarily perfect. This one I would definitely recommend as a solid summer beer, which we're getting close to summertime. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find this bad boy again, though, because it is Uinta, so I don't know if you can even get these out here in Southern California, but I hope so, because I would definitely like to drink another.
I hear you.
So, Adrian, what did you think about this experience tonight?
This has been a great experience to get buzzed and do a podcast.
Definitely.
I think it's funny that I saved the bottle for last, thinking that would be the best. But if I had to, can we do this now? Is this okay? Can we rate our top beers?
Oh, yeah. Do we want to rate them and like say which one we like the most?
My top beer for the night, Tim, was the 10,000 Summers Saison by Big Choice Brewing. And my second favorite would have been the next one, the Persic Saison. And my least favorite was this one. That was the Mr. Saison Saison Vale. So
you drank them in reverse order.
I did. I honestly did. You know, and again, not by a wide margin does this 10,000 Summers win, but it's definitely my pick of the night, my top beer of the night. So what do you think? What's going on your side? What have you decided?
I got mine. I drank them in order properly, as I assumed that I would. So I picked them out to drink them in the order that I thought I would enjoy them the most, and I was correct. So number one was my third favorite, which was the Hennepin. Hennepin. It's the farmhouse saison from Omegang, a brewery that I really enjoy, but I think that they're kind of more of their monk style triples, and I definitely like their Three Philosophers a lot. It's probably my favorite beer for them. It's a lambic mixed with just like a regular ale, like a darker ale though. So it's like got some brownness, got that spontaneous fermentation, cherries, all that. I really enjoy that. But this one doesn't knock it out of the park quite the same. Obviously, next one is the Mumford Brewing, the dry hopped saison. I thought that was really good. It's definitely a good California Saison, if that makes sense. The hops are perfect. The hop flavor is through just right. It definitely gives you kind of that West Coast vibe. You're definitely feeling California in it. And then my number one favorite one of the night is the Cucumber Farmhouse. I mean, this thing nails it. Everything about it, it's perfect. It's not too not too bitter, not too sweet. The cucumber doesn't overpower anything. The gin barrels don't overpower anything, but you still got that Saison backbone that you can taste the whole way through. The head is amazing. I wish that I could just, like, wear a cologne that smells like this. They sold that. I'd be in heaven. So, yeah, this is definitely a great beer. And it just goes to show, I mean, this is a Utah beer. I think a lot of people shit on Utah breweries in general. You guys got a lot of wacky, or they've got a lot of wacky beer laws over there.
Yeah.
And you know, they can still make a good beer, though. I mean, and especially this one, because it's meant to have low alcohol content. They don't have to worry about their weird liquor laws. They can just go for it and make a beer. So I think they really nailed it on this one. Yeah, and I think that's something that's going to come out of this show. I think with you being there close and you having told me about it from your personal experiences, and the fact that I was already kind of, I mean, the first time you sent me a picture of a Uinta beer that you were drinking, I was like, oh, I like that brewery. Uh-huh. And I think I had something that they had that was made with Equinox hops. I don't remember what the name of it was, but I was kind of like, oh, yeah, they had this beer, and you were kind of trying it. And I think that's something that's going to come through on this top beer show as we do it, is that we're kind of championing those kind of Colorado and Salt Lake City beers that I think a lot of other people aren't talking about. Like I was talking about in the beginning of the show, there's a reason why that Saison from Colorado doesn't get a good kind of score on rate beer, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's because I think people don't think of Colorado beers as being interesting beers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it was a lager or a pilsner, people would give it a fine grade, but I don't think people think of it as like, oh, they can make a good Saison there. Yeah. Well, they can't. But we've also got me on This Week in Wrestling every Sunday that show comes out. And we talk about wrestling. When this episode comes out, we should be doing a review of PWX's most recent show that is entitled Something That I Forgot, but it's got a couple good matches, and it's going to definitely be very interesting to hear me talking about it. I would definitely highly recommend that. It's also got Pete and Johnny talking about Raw and NXT in the lot, so go check that out. And I think that was it for me. Otherwise, yeah, I don't think I have anything else to plug.
Okay. Well, I hope everyone listening enjoyed our inaugural episode of Top Beer. We'll be back a week after next with a different style of beer, which we'll decide after we're done recording this, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If anyone has any ideas for beer styles, it doesn't even have to be a specific beer.
Oh, yeah,
If there's a style you want us to do or anything, just let us know.
Yeah, there's so many beer styles out there now that you know, that shouldn't be too hard. You know what I mean? I feel like we won't, and we can always repeat. I mean, we can always do saisons later down the line. You know, different saison. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, I think we're good, Tim. I think that's it. I think we did it.
We did it.
All right.